are. But God is the God of nations. And He has worked here in the land of the Assyrians, right in the capital city, to bring this whole city to its knees. And Jonah was the human instrument by which God did this great work. And you would think that as Jonah watched this unfold before his eyes, that he would have been rejoicing. That he would have been declaring, salvation is from the Lord, and rejoiced in what he saw happening in the city of Nineveh. But look at verse 1 of chapter 4. It greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And basically, I think the idea here that's going through his mind is that he knew how wicked these people were. As a prophet, he'd heard what they were going to do to Israel. They were the ones that took Israel into captivity. Wouldn't it be appropriate, God, to fulfill the message that I preached there as I walked, as I endangered my own life and walked through that city and said, you're going to destroy them, and then you don't do it? He can't stand the idea really in his heart that God is going to let these people live. It doesn't make any sense to him. And so he's standing, or he's really seated up above the city, just hoping maybe God will bring his judgments down. God realizes he's got to teach his prophet the lesson once again. And so he causes that plant to grow up over him that shades him from the hot sun. Lets the day go along where Jonah rather enjoys the shelter and the shade that that plant brings to him. And then instead of a whale or a fish, he sends a worm this time to do his work. And that worm eats the plant and it dies. And God's message to Jonah is this. As Jonah bemoans that he's lost this plant, he says, Jonah, you're showing more compassion for this vegetable, this vegetation, than you are for a whole city. I don't know about you, it's real easy to kind of laugh at Jonah, mock Jonah for his hard-heartedness, and then go right back to my little toys and my hobbies, my pleasures, and my interests, and think, and not think about how days and weeks can go by, and I'm not weeping over a city of lost souls and people. And that's why we need to come together on occasions and fast and pray. Yes, for the city, but also for ourselves. And really take it to heart that salvation is for lost people. And until Jesus comes back again, that's our duty and responsibility as the people of God, to be fasting and praying for His work in our own day, in our own generation. Picture for a moment some of the people we've prayed for tonight, or friends and family that are close to you but not in the kingdom of God, and what hell is really going to be like for them. Eternity. Eternity. Under the hellfire of God. Sodom and Gomorrah will seem like a campfire in comparison.
And do we pray? And do we ask God to save and redeem the ones that are out there? They're so ignorant of it. They don't know their right hand from their left hand. They're going about each day as if there is not that eternity awaiting them. And it will only be by the Spirit of God that their hearts will be brought to life and they will understand and they will come to Christ. So salvation is from the Lord. It's to the lowly and it's for the lost. And we really can express that and show that by entering into these kinds of times of prayer. Jason and I have been talking about all this. We've decided we're not going to, you know, get too formal about all this. We're not trying to make people feel guilty, or I'm not trying to make you feel guilty tonight whatsoever. That's just not the intent of my heart. But what we do hope is that as you take the Word of God to heart, as you think and as you pray about it, that there will be a movement of prayer here. Quiet, but serious. And we will see the Lord turn many hearts back to Himself. That's our hope. That's our prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these times where we can be sober-minded, where we can really think seriously, like your word calls us to do, about this wonderful salvation that you have given to us in Christ. And Lord, like our fathers of old in this nation who recognized they had come to a point in history where they had taken far too much for granted, where they had forgotten you. And because they had forgotten you in so many different ways, you stirred this nation up and brought a horrible, horrible war that pitted brother against brother. And Father, we don't want to see that happen in our generation. We want to be delivered from the folly of our age. And so I ask, Father, that you would really help us to deepen as people of prayer, and that you would really help us to make the sacrifices that are necessary to pray. Obviously, it cost Jonah quite a bit to leave his homeland and to be a missionary during that day and to go and do this work. And Father, we pray that you would help us, even if we don't have to leave where we are right now, to be willing to make the sacrifices necessary in order to pray unto you. Hear us, O Lord, we ask and pray. For it's in Christ's name we ask.